Hello, hello, mic check.
Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me?
I got you. Cool, everyone up here from your guys' side?
Ella, try your mic. Let's see if it works.
Hey guys, how is it going?
Cool. I think we're good then. Just let's do a quick intro while we wait for some people to just fill in here. So I'll start off. What's up, guys? Familiar Cow. I do communications and business development for Nine Realms. We're the core devs of the Thor chain, and we're just proliferating decentralized cross-chain non-custodial swaps throughout the entire cryptosphere.
All right, I'll go next. Hi, everyone. My name is Ari. I am head of communications at Zengo Wallet, and I've been with Zengo for, wow, we're coming on 3 years pretty soon.
Brilliant. My name is Elad. I'm CMO of Zengo, leading everything to do with go-to-market and commercials for Zengo. Myself also spent nearly 3 years with Zengo. I spent most of my prior career in Web2 companies, helping them to scale. So really excited to be here.
Cool. Thanks for coming, both of y'all. You want to just give a quick intro on what is Zengo, just to, like, what is the wallet, but also, like, what is the company, where you guys base, like, who's the team behind it? Anything you want to share about what the wallet is?
Sure, Led, do you want to take it? And then I'll chime in if there's anything else.
Of course. So Zengo was went live around 5 years ago with the promise of making self-custody simpler and more secure. If you look even today in the landscape of self-custody, you realize that at the end of the day, all self-custody still suffer from what we perceive as a huge problem, and that problem is the seed phrase vulnerability. So at the end of the day, this security system we refer as a crypto wallet has a single point of failure. If for whatever reason this seed phrase get accessed by malicious player, whoever that is, in whatever means that happened, then basically you lost all of your funds. This problem was resolved by Zengo nearly 5 years ago, deployed on MPC infrastructure, so it's very similar to ThorChain in that regard. But as time went by, we added more and more functionality that we believe is critical for a world in which self-custody really becomes, a prominent part of the day-to-day. So today, for example, things like inheritance transfer, right? So it's in inheritance-like solution powered by MPC, or theft protection, in which only you with your biometrics can sign the transaction if you want. So these features that are very special in the landscape of self-custody were gradually rolled out throughout the years, and we definitely envisage a world together with ThorChain that you don't need really exchanges. You can do the whole thing in a crypto wallet because it's more secure, more simple, more better UX. There is still a way to go, but we feel very, proud in the way that we took in the past few years. And now with the announcement of this integration, we are very excited for what's to come.
I'm gonna add a little to that, because I think, like, everyone I've spoken with over the last year or two, oh wow, another wallet. Aren't there enough wallets out there? So Zengo is different than every other wallet that you've worked with, and it's not just taking a traditional wallet, putting some new colors, some new UX and UI, and then saying, hey, we're good to go. Like, that's not our approach. What we're philosophically different, and have been since we started in 2018. And what is our philosophy? Secure by default. That until now, the industry, we're still maturing, right? But we have put too much of the responsibility on the users to not mess up. And if they make one mistake, they lose all of their funds, right? That is not okay. That is not acceptable. That's not how you scale an industry to become a multi-trillion dollar industry. That's not how we get our friends, our families, our moms to self-custody. And unfortunately, if you look at the industry, a lot of folks are buying the ETFs. A lot of folks are leaving their assets on centralized exchanges. And one of the main reasons why is because they're afraid of self-custody. They're afraid of seed phrases. And that's because seed phrases are vulnerable. And until recently, that was really the only way for people to do it, right? I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do for some people. Ultimately, it's a free market. People should do what's right for them. But I'll throw out one stat and then I'll turn it back to you. In the last 10 years, over $150 billion, that's with a B, $150 billion of Bitcoin, and Bitcoin alone has been lost or stolen because of seed phrase mismanagement. It's crazy, right? Like, that's not sustainable for the future. And so we have a different approach, right? Our focus is MPC, multi-party computation. We don't have a seed phrase. We can talk about it, I'm sure, if you have questions. But fundamentally, we want to build a wallet that's secure by default instead of, oh, it's secure, but only if you remember these 10 things and don't mess up that or that, because we just fundamentally don't think that that will scale for everyone in the long term.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And I see a lot of wallets really taking the same tack. And because I think everyone agrees that, I mean, it's indisputable that a seed phrase is a single point of failure where you need to securely house that somewhere where it, you know, it's in a password manager, the password manager gets popped and, you know, all your funds are gone, or it's written down somewhere, you lose it, or someone finds it or something. Like, it is a undeniably a single point of failure that can lead to the complete and total loss, irreversible loss of all your funds. So I think it's great that wallets are really moving, especially you guys really leading the charge in moving towards the MPC way of doing things, because I'm sure you can explain a little bit better, like why that's more secure, and also just like how it works in what makes that still non-custodial, and just like a little bit the technology behind MPC and why that's more secure for users, and how it helps really get past the day of seed phrases and into a more secure world where we still have access to self-custody, and we are the sole owners of our of our private keys, but we're not relying on just a single point of failure, which, you know, has obviously led to a loss of funds for many, many people.
Elad, do you want to take it or you want me to? All right, maybe I'll get started and then Elad, feel free to jump in. Right, so instead of having a seed phrase, right, which is that single point of failure, and that's the mental model, right, that everyone has. And it doesn't matter if you have a hardware wallet or a software wallet. Even if you have a hardware wallet and you make sure that it's disconnected, you know, from Web3, from everything, you still have to keep that seed phrase somewhere. And what people don't recognize is, even if that hardware wallet is somewhere safe, if you have that piece of paper or however you're storing it somewhere else, right? We've heard stories of people take pictures of their seed phrase. Please never do that. Or put it on their notes app. Please never do that, right? It gets picked up, and there's like all of this malware these days and bots that will quickly search to see if there are assets in that wallet and, of course, steal them. So we wanted to take it with a different approach. MPC stands for multi-party computation, right? The idea is you use more than one party to compute some sort of function, and the result of that is equivalent to what a single private key would be doing. But in our case, think of it sort of like a distributed private key. And at Zengo, we have a two of two MPC system, and we call them secret shares. We have the personal share that's locked to your mobile device, and we have the remote share that's stored in the Zengo server. Only your personal share can initiate any transaction, can sign any transaction, right? So we couldn't confiscate your funds even if we wanted to. That's not how our cryptography is built. All of our cryptography is open source. Feel free to check it out on our GitHub, by the way. It's been out for a long time. And you know, we welcome people to like look at it, ask us questions, engage with it. We have a Telegram group focused on MPC cryptography. There are over 1,000 people in it. Feel free to join that as well if you're interested. So instead of that one seed phrase, right, we have these two secret shares. And when you initialize a transaction, these two secret shares essentially talk to each other very quickly. And the output of that transaction is equivalent to what a normal seed phrase base wallet would do. So the blockchain doesn't know, right? And the nice thing about MPC is it's chain agnostic. So we can support, you know, Bitcoin, EVM chains, you know, Dogecoin, all of these others. I think I'll pause there to see if you know, you have any questions so far. But what I would say is, because there's no single point of failure, even if a hacker would somehow be able to get access to your personal share or get access to the remote share, and both shares are stored and secured in very different ways, because they don't have the whole system, they can't do anything with your wallet. And you know, the last point is, right, we've been around for about 5 years since 2019 when we launched the first version of the app. We now have over 1 million customers. Zero Zengo wallets have ever been phished or taken over. Zero. And that's because of this two of two MPC system, as opposed to a seed phrase wallet, which, as I'm sure everyone knows, you know, every single day, unfortunately, they get drained and hacked.
Yeah, it's super clever solution. And it's pretty similar to what, like, you know, like what a 1Password does, where you have a secret on one device, and then there's something on another device, and you need both of them to communicate to each other to actually, you know, sign anything, where neither has access to the data, with, you know, being the private key in this case, without without having the secret from the other device. So it's like a super clever solution that just moves us past the past of seed phrases and the single point of failure. So yeah, it makes total sense from my mind.
And what I'd add to that too, you know, our focus is really protecting you as the user, the customer, right? Like your funds, not just protecting the seed phrase, right? Or the private key. We want to protect more than that. And we can talk more about Zengo Pro maybe later on, which has all these advanced functions, sort of like account abstraction on steroids. Alad mentioned some, right? Legacy transfer theft protection. But it's just a fundamentally different approach to self-custody and securing your funds. Because we're not just in this for the next year or two. We're really thinking, like, what do we need to have 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road to make this a truly sustainable industry that people feel comfortable and confident using, so all the funds don't move to centralized exchanges and the ETFs?
Yeah, and that's something that we're super aligned on. Like, as so, I mean, the entire reason ThorChain was built in the first place is to be a non-custodial exchange where you can hold your funds in self-custody and then still be able to do the things that you want to do on a centralized exchange, obviously, like make swaps, earn yield, and borrow. So like it just like for us, it was you know, something that we've been wanting to work with you guys for a long time, to bring that experience to self-custody. Because I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, in a couple of years, it's just the premier experience is having a secure experience where you have control of everything. You're self-custodying your funds, which I think we can all agree is like one of like the core tenets of this entire space, but then also have access to DeFi in a secure way, and especially cross-chain, because like, you know, I think another thing that everyone can agree on in this space is you know, there's multiple chains and they're not going anywhere. There's going to be ones that come and go. You know, Bitcoin's here, Ethereum's here, and we need a secure way to move across them. So like, to me, the whole collaboration between you know, Zengo and ThorChain just makes a ton of sense. So yeah, I mean, do you guys want to talk about like what kind of prompted the decision to move forward with that? If there's anything like from your guys' side that you want to share, like why you know, be using ThorChain for a swap provider?
Yeah, so I can take that, and I will actually start by elaborating on what you mentioned earlier, right? There is a paradigm in the industry that you go to the exchange, do what you need, in terms of transacting, exchanging, buying crypto, and then you're taking that elsewhere to your self-custody. I think that's that's considered to be the best practice. And this is a paradigm that we reject. We believe in a world that eventually there are no benefits to go to the exchanges, and you can do everything in a self-custody manner on-chain. We are not there yet, I think, as an industry. I think that today when you go to an exchange, you're getting a better experience, lower fees, and unfortunately also more secure experience. When I say more secure, it's because that I think that people underestimate the vulnerability of the seed phrase. So the self-custody today is flawed in our view. We believe in this world that eventually you can both self-custody and to transact in a self-custody manner on-chain. And when you look at this page, you see that this problem is partially solved, right? So you can transact on EVMs in places like Uniswap very easily, sometimes also very efficiently in terms of transaction fees, if you're doing that on layer twos, very cheaply also in terms of gas and transaction and gas fees. However, the cross-chain, which from our point of view, it's a huge part of the volume traded, are not covered by any decentralized player. So today, or up until this integration, we enabled this kind of swapping with centralized entities, and sometimes centralized entities also coming with privacy downsides around KYC, for example. So we were excited now to cater for cross-chain trading and swapping, namely from Bitcoin to Ethereum and other EVMs. For example, we noticed that a huge part of our customers would like to go in and out from Bitcoin to stablecoin whenever price is volatile. And that, of course, makes sense. And now with Thorchain, we are able to do that in a way that we were unable to do that previously, not in a decentralized manner, at least.
Yeah, I agree that the entire landscape is still being built up, and there's still a lot of work to be done to connect all the chains. And it's not just going to be Thorchain that, you know, helps accomplish this goal. There's other networks that use similar structures to Thorchain that will, you know, rise up and create this web of liquidity that goes cross chain and just lets users swap whatever they want. And also, like, the one important bit that I think is really important here is having the vertically integrated and secure experience all within the wallet. Because also, like, I think a big part of the, you know, the strange experience of using like a lot of DeFi is going to a website on a desktop and, you know, connecting your wallet, and then you're trusting the user to be able to manage that experience securely, which I think is another it's another point of failure where, you know, the user can go to a wrong site and get phished or something. But really, I feel like the experience that most people will be using in the future is using this web of DeFi, but vertically integrated into the app. So like you guys are doing, having the swap experience be right there, be as simple as just like tapping swap and then just picking your coins, and then it just does all the heavy lifting in the back end for you. You trust Zengo to securely just know the route to get the best liquidity for your swap. That's the way that I think most people are going to be interacting on chain, because it's just the safest way to do it, in an experience that's fully within the wallet, rather than, you know, going to this site or that site or experimenting around. So I really think that's going to be one of the core ways that people actually are trading in the future, is just fully self-custodial. And like, yeah, there's definitely work we need to do to connect more chains and add more liquidity and, you know, get to where we need to be in the future. But I think the foundation starts here with getting the experience into the wallet, where it's super easy to use. You don't have to think about, you know, where to go to do it. You have it right there without, obviously, like the privacy pitfalls of KYC, and know that you're getting a good rate for your swap with deep liquidity on chain.
Yeah, I actually want to plus one what you just said, because the user experience is also a very key part of a secure experience, right? That, I mean, obviously there are advantages sometimes to, you know, using Wallet Connect and going to a DEX, especially if you're more of a crypto native user. But like, let's say you're just an entrepreneur, you're making money in Bitcoin and you swap to USDC or USDT. And I mean, using Wallet Connect, listeners are comfortable with it at this point, but like, I gotta say, because I get to work with a lot of people, many of whom are crypto nerds and degens, and many of whom are quite new and they want to get started, but they're really afraid to make a mistake, right? And when you're connecting and you're going to swap, wait, are you copying or pasting the address? Is this the right address? I'm not just talking about the wallet address, but the addresses associated with whatever it can be very scary, very overwhelming. Also, see a lot of mistakes intentionally, or hackers convince them to copy and paste something wrong. Especially, they see a lot of people copying, an address that they thought was their wallet address, but there isn't. So there's actually a lot of value, 100%, like you just said, in building this indirectly to the wallet, and then you give the user directly to the wallet. If they want, they can kind of venture out and try things on their own. But even when you venture out, right, it's very difficult to do that multi-chain. That's again where chain really shines. Doing multi-chain swaps directly through an app that is self-custodial is such a cool game changer.
Yeah, are there any other DeFi protocols that you have vertically integrated into the wallet experience, or is Thorchain like your guys' first real like DeFi protocol getting put in there? I'm just curious if you guys have anything else that's just right in the app.
Yeah, no, I think Thorchain's our first DeFi protocol.
Awesome. Well, congrats.
Can you hear me okay? Is my mic working?
It was cutting out just a little bit for me. I don't know if it was for anybody else, but it was kind of robot-y.
Sorry. Here, we'll try that. We actually do also have, we launched a few weeks ago staking directly through Zengo with a DeFi partner, so we're excited about that too.
Awesome. Like Ethereum staking or Cosmos staking or what kind of staking?
Yeah, right now Ethereum staking.
Yeah, I think you're cutting out for me. I don't know if Elad can hear him. Okay, or if anyone else can.
Yeah, I think Ari is cutting off a little bit. But anyhow, you can stake with Zengo in a native integration with a pair called Everstake. We were actually overwhelmed by the demand we've seen to that. So I think it's just another manifestation that, hey, of course you can go to Uniswap or whatever staking protocol and to do the Wallet Connect thingy and to submit the transaction. But all of that doesn't only add some friction, also actually reduce safety and security. I definitely agree that native integration is the way to go. It provides better user experience. It provides more security to the transaction itself. It was another great manifestation for us to verify that that's the right way forward.
Yeah, 100%. And as DeFi protocols continue to harden, the experience is just going to get better on the back end. And I feel like, I mean, centralized exchanges there's no way to go up in a centralized exchange. There's only DeFi protocols that are going to reach parity with the centralized exchanges in the long term. So, the centralized exchange is what it is because it's just on one computer. But, you have these DEXs, which are, very slowly but surely rising up to the challenge. I think I just saw that DEX volumes are really just starting to peak right now versus centralized exchange volumes. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I think it was like, it got up to like 15% or something this past month, and we're doing our part to to get the volume onto DeFi protocols and all centralized exchanges, because really that's where all the base, it just makes sense. That's where all the base liquidity is going to be all on chain.
Yeah, it's been a trend that we've seen, for a few years, that the market share of decentralized exchanges grows month over month. And it only makes sense that these trends continue and that the crossing already occurred.
Cool. Just moving forward, I'm wondering if there's any other things that you guys are working on. I know you guys have been grinding on this integration for a little while now. Is there any other experiences that you guys are working on right now that you want to talk about, or just like any key parts of your roadmap that you'd like to share?
Sure. So I think that everything to do with sending, receiving funds for yourself is, is similar. For example, when you withdraw from Binance or Coinbase to your wallet, we believe that we can look into this experience and to make it even more secure by doing native integration with these players. This is one. Another thing is that I think that when you compare any wallet, but also Zengo, to the trading experience, wallets are not doing an amazing job when it comes to trading, right? To discover new assets, to discover new opportunities, to know how my portfolio looks like. So today you have this niche of trading apps, you have decent experience on the exchanges, and most wallets, and us included, are providing a subpar trading experience, right? It's pretty hard to know what your portfolio did in the past, whatever, week or weeks or a year. And these are also areas that we are totally going to look into. I think that what set us apart, and we started with that, is that with our MPC, we can deploy logic on the signature. Once you can deploy logic, and it's not all depends on the private key or the seed phrase, you can get things that others can't. So I mentioned earlier the inheritance transfer, the theft protection, but we're definitely looking into other use cases. For example, I don't know if you're married or not, but if you would go to your bank and you would like to empty the bank account, and you're married, good chance that your bank will call your wife and ask, hey, is everything okay here? I also need your signature. And this scenario also happens in businesses. This unique ability, for example, to do two signatures exists today in smart contracts. It doesn't really exist on Bitcoin, not in a simple way, right? So we are looking into ways to bring this advanced business logic to the signature process, and at the end of the day, to increase security and safety with better UX to our customers in a way we really believe that only us in the landscape are positioned. But we already think today that what we have is so much better in terms of security and keeping your crypto with you. So we feel confident in keep going in this direction.
Yeah, it's a good point on just Bitcoin MPC. And that's pretty much the entire purpose of Thorchain as well, and like why the architecture is the way that it is, and why that the network exists in the first place, which I can just go into that just like a little bit briefly here. So, I mean, Thorchain is similar to the way that Zengo does self-custody, where, you know, Thorchain has all these vaults of native assets. It has a vault of Bitcoin. It has a vault of Ethereum. And it also shards the private key, you know, similar to how, you know, you guys use a 2-of-2. It shards the private keys for these vaults into 20 bits. So there's validators for the network, and they take, you know, 1/20th of one of the vaults, and we have five vaults. So there's, a bunch of a couple different private keys, and no individual node can access any of the funds. You need a supermajority in order to do that. So in your case, you need 2-of-2. In our case, we need 16 of 20 validators in order to access any of the native assets that are on individual chain. On any individual chain. So in order to send out any Bitcoin or to send out any Ethereum, you need 16 out of 20 in order to do that. So it's all just different applications of the same technology, just used in different ways. So like either hosting an individual user wallet, or you know, being the secure framework behind you know, holding liquidity provider funds. And the chain itself is just there to witness transactions on other chains and to be a state machine that can say, yeah, we saw something on this chain, now we need to send out funds on this other chain. So it's just interesting to me how you can apply the technology, the MPC technology, in so many different ways to create the better experience for users. In one case, not having a seed phrase, and the other case, being able to secure lots of funds, like thousands of Bitcoin, you know, tens of thousands of Ether, you know, millions of dollars worth of stable coins, et cetera, in a way that no individual or can access it, where, you know, it's the entire purpose of both these things. So I just think it's kind of cool that you have the MPC technology used in both very different ways, but both of them creates just a more secure, self-custodial experience for the user. And I think we're going to see that kind of technology just used more in the future to create different types of experiences that it just helps empower the user and get rid of the one of one. Because that's really what the centralized exchange is. It's just a one, you know, it's three guys in a multi-sig type thing, or, you know, in the worst case, one guy holding the seed phrase to all the funds in the back. So it just moving forward, I think NPCs, I mean, we all know that it's the way. So it's just proselytizing that and letting the people know.
Yeah, I moved a little bit. Can you hear me better now?
We'll see if my mic sound is good. Working.
Okay, awesome. So I completely agree. I think that for a while, MPC was kind of in the background because it was really used at the institutional level. And now we're getting, because it is more complicated, right? And to do it well and to do it securely requires really smart people working very hard. But those who are willing to kind of do the hard work and push end up with incredible results afterwards. And that's why now we see incredible applications like ThorChain, right? Like Zengo, leveraging this, I would say, maybe not more advanced, but different type of cryptography that allows for us to do more advanced things that ultimately gives average people access to things that until now only institutions had access to, right? Like I think Coinbase I read somewhere is using MPC to help custody some of the Bitcoin ETFs. I know that they bought an MPC company a few years ago and are kind of integrating things at the large level. But to see other, I guess, innovative companies like Zengo, right, and what you guys are doing at ThorChain, make sure that the average person can get access to this tech also is really cool. And I think we're going to see, like you said, more of this in the future. I would also kind of, I wouldn't say warn, but like be wary. I think that now that MPC is becoming cool, people will start slapping it on lots of things. Just because something says that it's MPC, it doesn't mean automatically that it is, or that it's trusted, that it's tested, and that it's secure, right? And that's where you really have to look at the track records of, you know, we've been around for 5 years. ThorChain has been around for a while. And, you know, as we start to see new entrants, it's great. Like the more the merrier. We love competition. Like that's what this is all about. It'll only make all of us better. But I'm starting to be wary of people who are starting to use this this term because they think that it, you know, gives them extra credit. Because then I want to, okay, great. Like, what's your cryptography? Where is it? Is it open source? Has it been audited? You know, and kind of go down that line of questioning too, just to make sure that it is legit and it is battle tested and it will actually deliver on what people are promising that it will do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one bit that's super important to us is open source. And like, obviously, everything ThorChain is open source. The entire node software is open source. The TSS libraries that we use are open source. And, you know, we rely on the open source development community to contribute through, you know, just contributions to the protocol and for, you know, bug bounties for security and things. And we've paid out some big bounties to people who have done great security research on some of the different TSS libraries, like Binance TSS library. So You know, that's something that we're just huge supporters of, is just open source software development and, you know, developing out in the open, because really that's the only way to really battle test what it is that you're doing, is to have it run in the wild, which is what Thorchain does. It's the largest in production TSS, which is, you know, the MPC protocol that we use, the largest threshold signature scheme in the world for sure, and, you know, open source with an open validator set that anyone can join and enter. So just the joy of actually seeing that like live and in production is it's pretty incredible, like the scale of it actually. I don't think anyone has anything close to you know, the hundred party multi-party computation that Thorchain does, especially in an open environment where anyone could be a signer in it.
That's very cool. This is a very nerdy conversation, and I love it. And it's also very cool.
Yeah, that's what we do. if people have questions in the comments, also, now would be a good time to request. In the meantime, while we're waiting to see if anyone wants to come up, do you want to go into Zengo Pro? And I think you wanted to give away some Zengo Pro codes as well.
Yeah. So I've got some alpha. Some free stuff, and who doesn't love that free stuff, especially when it costs something normally. So like you had asked before, kind of what's our roadmap, what are we doing, and Elad spoke a little bit about that, but I think that the main thing that I want to highlight is, you know, not only do we want to do all the basic wallet stuff well, right, send, receive, swap, etc., stake, but because of our MPC infrastructure, we can go well beyond that in a way that other wallets simply can't. A seed phrase based wallet can't do the things that we're starting to do with Zengo Pro. An AA wallet, right, account abstracted wallet, could do some of these things, but that's only for EVM chains, right? And ultimately, let's be realistic. Like you said, it's going to be a multi-chain world. We can't ignore Bitcoin. We can't ignore the elephant in the room, right? So MPC allows us to treat every asset inside of the wallet the same and give them the same security features and more advanced self-custodial features, right? So that's why we launched Zengo Pro. We launched it about a year ago. It's really taking off. It's so cool to see. Like Elad said, we were the first self-custodial wallet to build in what we call legacy transfer, which is essentially inheritance. It's not, right? And like, of course, you would defer to whatever legal entity, wherever you're located in the world. But this helps you finally make sure that your on-chain assets don't get lost forever. Whether, you know, you want to make sure that your children or friend or partner is able to access them in the future. And the cool thing about it is it doesn't require KYC. You can always cancel it or reassign it to somebody else at any time. And the person that you assign it to doesn't need to be a Zengo Pro user. Only you have to be one, right? So we really made this as accessible as possible to people. And the second feature, which is super cool, and the reason why I'm mentioning these is because you're all going to be able to get access to test them and to play around with them for free because you came on the call, if you're interested. The second one is legacy theft protection. So basically, like, let's say you have your hardware wallet, and maybe it's really secure, but you have the PIN code for the wallet, right? Like 5 digits, 6 digits, somewhere. If somebody finds that, they can access your wallet, right? They can access everything in there. So we created a feature where even if somebody could access your mobile device and they know the PIN code on your mobile device, they still can't actually move your assets out of your Zengo wallet. They can't approve transactions. They can't do anything in Web3. That's my favorite feature, to be honest. It's called theft protection. You can play around with it. So the Zengo account about an hour ago posted a link to a Google form. If there's a way for us to share it in the space too, it's currently the pinned post in the Zengo account. If you want three free months of Zengo Pro, just fill out the form. It asks for a name. It doesn't need to be your actual name. We don't care. We just want to know what to. When I send you an email in a day from now from my email address, I want to know what to call you. An email address so I know how to send you the coupon, and then I'll send a unique coupon to anyone who wants. You just need to fill out the form and include the secret code, and the secret code is Thorchain. So make sure you just write Thorchain, and we'll make sure that we get you access to this to play around with things. And then I also promised alpha. So the next feature that we're going to be launching, probably, it's already in QA. I'm playing around with it. It is super fun. I'm very excited. It's also been a massively asked for feature. I would say it's probably going to go live in the next month or so. Don't hold me to it, right? Because you never know. In development, we always want to be right, not fast or first. But it's going to allow for multiple wallets within your Zengo wallet, right? So now you'll be able to manage, you know, 3, 4, 5 different wallets, segregate them for privacy, right? You might have your like external facing wallet connected to your ENS. You might have your, you know, your secure wallet that's not connected to anything in Web3 that nobody knows what the address is. I know it's going to be super useful for tons of people, especially if you're doing minting. You can have your wallet that mints and you play around with stuff and you don't have a lot of assets in there. You can have your other one that's very secure that's, you know, like I said, not connected. So I'm really excited about this feature. It's part of Zengo Pro as well. If you get access to Zengo Pro in the next day or two, which when I send you the code, you'll definitely be able to play around with this feature. And we want to know what you think about it. Like, we're going to continue to develop and continue to innovate in ways that a lot of other wallets can't. We're really excited about it. And this is really just the beginning. There's another feature I'm not going to share yet that should be launching in the next quarter or so that goes even deeper on like the security, the self-custody. And yeah, I'm feeling, I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling bullish for the next year.
Awesome. No, glad you're so excited about the roadmap. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good feature set to be building out. I also this is like one question I forgot to ask earlier. I'm wondering like who your guys like main user base is. Is it mostly trying to attract, you know, new users into the space, or is it you know, finding users that want a secure wallet experience, or what exactly is your guys' growth strategy in like really trying to get yourselves out there?
That's an awesome question. And I would be honest with you, we changed a few years ago when we realized that we weren't. Our mistake until about 2 years ago was trying to overly abstract the deep security built into Zengo because we do MPC instead of a seed phrase wallet. So at the beginning, it seemed like this really cute, fun wallet. The colors were different. The user experience was a little different. It was very easy to use, but we didn't really surface how secure this is, right? Zero wallets have ever been drained. That's incredible, right? This is more secure than a single factor hardware wallet. We are more secure than a single factor hardware wallet, and we're free. It's hard to believe that if your mental model is, you know, seed phrase based hardware wallet is the only way to go. So the last year, I would say we've been really talking about it, and it's starting to resonate. And it's exciting to see that happen because more people, unfortunately, most of the time, it's only after they've gotten their wallet drained or they signed something they shouldn't have or they misplaced their seed phrase. They're like, wait, I want to see if there's something better out there. And then they come to us. So I would say at this stage, it's kind of really useful for two groups of people. The first is like the crypto noobs. Right? They're afraid. They want to self-custody. They don't know how to start. They heard about the seed phrasing. They're not sure what to do. So they onboard to Zengo. The onboarding experience is very fast. You don't need to write a seed phrase down, right? You can do it anywhere in the world. You don't need to be hiding in a room with a pen and a piece of paper. So that's one main group. But the other main group, and this is where I'm really excited because this is what Zengo Pro is really, you know, targeting and helping, are folks with a lot of assets, right? Like high-value NFT communities. We've got some great collabs with the Pudgy Penguins. We're actually going to launch another one soon. They're such a great team. And you know, people who have significant assets, especially in Web3 and DeFi, don't want those to get lost. And they're the ones on a daily basis who see or hear stories of wallets drained. This is something that Zengo can uniquely secure better than traditional wallets. And as we continue to launch more features that help that community, we're seeing more and more people from those ecosystems start to use Zengo as well, right? I'm not saying Zengo should be the only wallet that you use. Probably not, right? You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. But it should certainly be one of the wallets that you use for your self-custodial system, however you do it yourself.
Awesome. Thanks for that. I don't see any questions from the audience. So is there, maybe we can just give some closing thoughts. Like, if there's anything you want to say just about the integration or just like about the space in general, anything you've been thinking of lately that that you want to share?
No, I mean, I don't know about everyone else here. I'm feeling pretty bullish. It's going to be an interesting month. We expect the ETH ETF to go live next week. We're about 6 months since the Bitcoin ETF launched. We're starting to see more discussions around crypto in general, and not necessarily in a negative way, right? Because I think the traditional ecosystem was still very bearish on crypto for a while, ever since FTX collapsed. So I'm excited, right? It's like, it feels like spring, right? It's not exactly summer yet. But spring is a good time because things are starting to happen. You know, we've been building hard during crypto winter. We're really excited about everything that we're shipping. I would just say, like, we love talking to people. So if anyone's listening, has a question, wants to send me a DM on Twitter, or, you know, join us. We have a Discord server. You can join it from our main website. Go to zengo.com and you'll get the link at the bottom. I'm always around to answer questions and to get feature requests, because we always continue to build. And I just want to say that we love what you guys are doing. And, you know, I've personally been like following Thorchain for a while, the project. I think it's such a needed solution, and it's really exciting to see you guys continue to grow, because it's happening, right? So, like, keep on keeping on, and together we're really gonna do it. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I just we've been super excited about this collaboration for a long time. Glad to see us finally get it across the line and shipped out. Swaps are live in Zengo right now. So if you're a user, or if you haven't used the wallet yet, you can make a swap right now. Powered by non-custodial DeFi protocol that you can access from self-custody. So that's the way things are going, folks. So that's shipping out. So that's why we're so glad to work with you guys to just deliver the best experience possible for the users, and really just proliferate self-custody. Because I think that's just one of the most important things that we could really be doing here. So yeah, that's why we're just super excited to work with you guys, and I'm sure we'll have more stuff in the future that we do together, especially as we ship more chains that your users can access, or just other features, all things that you guys can easily access and give out to the people who use your wallet. So
yeah, absolutely,
really, really happy to be working with you guys as always.
And I would say that, like, a lot of Zengo users that I've talked to since we launched Thorchain have been really excited. It's been making their swap experience even better than it was before. So it's exactly what we wanted to see, right? Like, that's, you know, it's a lot of hard work to do this sort of integration and to do it well. But when you get on to the other side of it, and it's successful, and you're kind of like, you're accomplishing the things that you want to, then you know it was worth it. So let's just keep on going.
Awesome. Well, I guess we'll just wrap it up here. Thanks for coming on. Thanks everyone for coming out. We'll make sure this gets on the RSS feed and post it wherever you get your podcasts. So we'll tweet out the link later. But thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ari.